delay, but there were many delays throughout Yerushalayim today. And then I have great misgivings about what Thursday and Friday, etc., will bring for us. I have to give the BBC an answer if I will agree to be interviewed at Yad Vashem while the Pope is there. I'm not sure yet. Because I'm afraid that, you know, I can get a little passionate at times. Right. So we'll see. Of course not. I cannot be negative in any way, because whatever one says can hurt Jews throughout the entire world. But one has to be understanding. All right, okay. We're learning Yeshayahu. Where are we in Yeshayahu? We are in chapter 51. Chapter 51, and I want to begin with Pasuk Yud Zayin. Now, number one, this shir is dedicated in memory of Chana Bas Moshe Aleha Shalom, mother of Clara Feldman. Mother of Clara Feldman. Today is the Yartzeit, she should be a Melitza Yosher, and the neshama should rest in Gan Eden. We're also dedicating the shir l'refuah shleima for Liora Livna Rachel Bas Miriam, young woman from Har Nof, who is. We hope that everything will be all right with her, but she's having surgery today. So we hope, Yitzchak Hashem, that everything will be all right. Okay. Yeshayahu chapter Nun Aleph Pasuk 17. We had already learned Psukim 17 and 18. And we'll begin there again. Hit Odedi, hit Odedi. Awaken, awaken, arouse. Kumi, Yerushalayim. Get up, Yerushalayim. Asher shatit miyat Hashem et kos chamato. That you drank from the hand of God the cup of his wrath. Et kuba'at kos hatar'ela. The kubat is a kind of cup. It's an earthenware cup, hatar elah, that has the poisonous cup, shatit, matzit. You drank it, and matzit means that you really, to the last drop. It was not good to the last drop. It was bitter to the last drop. The Malbim explains that there are two cups mentioned here in the Pasuk. One cup is Kos Chamato, the wrath of God. The second is Kuba Kos Hatar'ela. Now, about the first cup, Kos Chamato, it says, Shatit Miyad Hashem. You drank it from the hand of God. At Kuba Kos Hatar'ela, not merely did you drink, but shatit matzit, and you drank it to the very end. So the Malbim says there are two things being said in the pasuk. There is God's anger with his people, but his anger is never such that it will ever bring to the destruction of the Jewish people. His anger is always tinged with mercy and compassion. That which you drink from the hand of God himself, so it's the cup of his wrath, but it's never something that you drink to the last drop. But then there is punishment that the Jewish people have to receive for sins that they committed. That's kubat kos hatarayla. And that, unfortunately, shatit, you drank, and matzit, you sort of... to the last drop, there's nothing left. God's anger, v'hurachum yechaper avon v'lo yo'ir kol chamato. God will never arouse all of his anger. His chema never goes to the ultimate. So therefore, ashatit, you drank from the hand of God. Even when you drink kos chamato, it is from the hand of God. Yud kei vav kei is rachamim. Even when his wrath goes out against the Jewish people, it's tinged and it's colored and it is softened with God's mercy. You can hear how God is merciful. Hu rachum, yechaper rachum, he forgives sins. V'lo yashit, he will not destroy. V'lo yair, he does not arouse and awaken. Kol chamato. Whenever it is wrath, the wrath is never fully going out against the Jewish people. Because that you get from the hand of God. So v'chamato is it's tinged and overlaid with a sense of mercy. But then there is the punishment for sin, that already you've had more than your share of that. Didn't Yeshayahu say in chapter 40, Nachamu Nachamu Ami? Because why? You receive kiflayim, double portion. Not necessarily because God wanted it, but because that's what the enemies of Israel have done. And Ein Menahela, he's going to paint a picture for you. When you drink cups, what happens? We're talking about two cups that they drank. Drinking those two cups is something that can be intoxicating. So what happens when somebody gets intoxicated? Either you have a little bicycle of son who leads you, who leads the drunk father home by the hand, or then there are the older children who are able to take care of the father. So here it says, Ein Menahela, there is nobody to lead her, Mikol Banim Yalada, from all of the children she gave, the sons she gave birth to. Ein Machazig Biyada, there is nobody who holds on to her hand, Mikol Banim Gidela, from all of the sons that she raised. So you see, there are Banim Yalada, and there are Banim Gidela. Banim Yalada obviously is talking about young children who she's just given birth to. Banim Gidela, sons that she has raised, are already older ones. There's nobody to take care of the poor tata and the poor mama. And shtayim heino kora otayich, there are two things that happen to you. Mi yonud lach. The Navi is now, in the name of God, speaking with pain about the suffering of Klal Yisrael. Shtayim heino kora otayich, two things there are that happen to you. Mi yonud lach. Who will shake his head for you? Mian Nudlach, by shaking the head, what it means is the person who comes to console the mourner. It says that the friends of Eov came, Lo Nudlo. In other words, you're sort of shaking and say, Oy vey, nevach, nevach. Shtayim heino korotayach, there are two things that happened. And they were so terrible, there is nobody who can come and console you. Who is going to shake his head with you? What are the two things that happen? Hashod v'hasheva. Shod is the robbery. They stole everything that was yours. V'hasheva, and the enemy broke you. And how do shod v'hasheva express themselves? Because they stole, then there was ra'av, there was famine, and the breaking of the Jewish people came by virtue of cheder, the sword. And they robbed you blind, and then they killed you, so that they yarshin everything. They sent you to the concentration camps, and they kept all the insurance money. Right? That's all. That's shod. That's highway robbery. And then sheva, send them off to the concentration camps. Cherev, ra'av, the poor who cannot buy, who don't have food, die from hunger. And then there's cheder, the destruction of the sword. Mi anachamech. Most of the Mephoshim say it is to be understood as though it said, Bimmi anachamech. Through whom can I console you? Very often you come to console somebody, so you say, you know, listen, Rivka also, you know, she also had a terrible problem. Chaim also. You know, there are other people. Tzaras rabim chatzi nechama. Well, when you know that that what's happening to you has happened to others, it sort of diminishes slightly the sense of pain. But what happens if there's nobody else in the world who has suffered as you have suffered? There's nobody else that you can turn to and say, take a look, it happened to them too. To whom can I can console you? There's nobody in the world that I can console you. To console, one of the ways of consoling is by saying, you know, it happened to this one, it happened to that one. But when your tzache is so unique, your tzache is so awesome and so frightening that it hasn't happened to anybody else, you can't ever point and say, well, it happened to them too. For example, over the years, any tzache that befalls a people is immediately called a holocaust. Everything is given a holocaust. And if there are rainforests, I don't know, in South America that are being destroyed, it's a holocaust of the rainforest. There's every kind of holocaust you can think of. What does it really do? It diminishes the exceptional horror of the holocaust. This is a holocaust, and this is a holocaust. And this one had a holocaust, and that one had a holocaust. Because there's always nechama, there's some degree of consolation in the fact that, you know, so we all suffer, that's life. But what happens if there's nobody else who has suffered this way? So through whom can I console you? Yes, Sarah. Who? Shiver? To be broken. No. The shiver by Yosef is from the word mashbir, that's food. This is being broken. Not the same word. Hamashbir. I don't know if you want to figure something out. I don't know, but I'm not gonna do it. Yes. I don't have any of the Mefarshim who says it, so if I could figure out a good drush on that basis, I'd certainly jump at the opportunity. Except, of course.
Huh?
So who said that? Rashi says, "Shtayim heina kodosayich." There are two things that happen to you. Sodos kfulos. Shtayim. Double, trouble, two. And the two is shod v'shever. And the explanation of shod v'shever is lo'av v'cheret. The Mahari Koro says, Kifulot Heina Koro Treyach. Double are that which happened to you. Vaholechum of Fareshan. He goes on to explain, Heich Heina Kifulot. How is it double? Hashod, Vashever, Harav, Vacheret. Let's see. Let's take. Huh? You're right. But I don't know. Okay. Yeah, it could be, I don't know. By the way, from the next pasuk you could really move in that it's talking about Churban Habayit. Because next pasuk sounds like Eicha, very good. Bonayich Ulfu, your children fainted. They were so weak that they fainted. Shachvu berosh kol chutzos. They lay at the top of all of these streets of the thoroughfares. They were pashut falling. I mean, if anybody has seen the pictures of people pashut dying in the streets of the Warsaw ghetto, lying berosh kol chutzos, and there would be those who would come along, the chevra kadisha, who would take away those who simply died from hunger. Kito nichmar. A toe is a wild ox. I think that's what your English should say.
Antelope.
Oh, God. None of them are Farsian. Say antelope. Oh, antelope. I would never have thought of antelope. Good that I am, because they say shor habor, a wild boar.
Bull,
a wild bull. Shor habor, a wild bull. Michmar is a trap. You know, trap, the bull that's trapped. there's something so helpless, there's something so pitiful, caught in the trap and no way out. Hamaleim chamat Hashem, those who are full of the wrath of God, ga'arat Elokayach, the anger of your God. Chamat Hashem is the first kos. Remember there were two kosos back there? Chamat Hashem is asher shotit miyad Hashem, kos chamato. Ga'arat Elokayach is worse. That's the kubat kos hatar elah, asher shotit matzit. Lachain, therefore. Now, what he has described over here, and the fact is, I'm ready, not only am I ready to go along with that it's Bayit Sheni, it's all the suffering of the Jewish people throughout all of history. Mm-hmm. You can read it as a description of any tzava that you want throughout all of history. And as we say, starting from chapter 49, Yeshayahu is talking about the whole range, the whole perspective of Jewish history. Lachem, therefore, he says, Shimi nozot aniyah. Therefore, listen, hear this aniyah, you poor one, who shechurat, the one who is drunk. And you see, why is the term drunk used? Because we have spoken about the two kosos, the kos chamato and the kos kubat kos atarela. You are drunk, but v'lo miyayin. You are drunk, but not from wine. She was in such agony because of her tzaddis. Here also, yes, Vayach Sheveha Eli, very good. Eli thought that she was shikora, that she was drunk. But she says, no, I'm not shikora. I'm ishok shas ruach anochi. I am a woman with a heavy heart. Good. So here it says, it's a description the one who is in great tzaddis is like a drunk who has lost a grip on reality. The reality is too awesome and too frightening and too shaking, and you lose grip. Therefore, Ko Omar so says Adonayich Hashem, your master, God the Elokayich. I think the term, this is a new term that has been used, Adonayich, that God is referred to as your master. And I believe the reason why he uses the term master is because you're mine. Avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzayim, we were slaves to Paro b'mitzayim, but then when God took us out, we became avdei Hashem. We are the avdei Hashem, we are servants of God, and He's our master, and therefore it's His responsibility to acquire us back. Ve'elokayich yodiv amo. Your God is going to struggle for His people. You should know. I have taken from your hand the cup of poison. Et kubat kos chamati. Isn't it interesting? He's switched everything. Everything is switched. The order. Very good. You see, we're training you. Tell me how the order has been switched, because the fact is that the kos hatareila is worse than the kos chamati. And therefore the one that should be removed first is the kos that brings destruction. So therefore, I've taken from your hand the kos hatareila, kubar kos chamati. Lo tosifi lishtota od, you will never drink it again. If you want to add this to what we had said before, and taking in to account what Riva said, and that we expanded it to be all of the tzavos, there's a moment at which the two cups will be taken away and you're never going to drink it again. There's never going to be korban again. No more destruction. And you know what I'm going to do with it? V'samti ha'biyad mogayich. I'm going to place those cups into the hands of mogayich. Now, mogayich, Rashi says, Mogayach miniayach umitaltalayach. Those who've caused you to move and wander. Those who've tossed and turned you from place to place. Mogayach can also be a word from Echah, ki hoga Hashem al kol psha'eha. And if it means that, then it means the sense of those who have caused you yagon. Mogayich, coming from the word yagon, agony, agony. I'm going to give the cups in the hand of Mogayich, asher omru l'nafsheich, who have said to you, shri, pound, pound on the ground, v'na'avoda, and we're going to cross it, we're going to step over you. Vatosimi, you know what you did? You know what you did when the enemy told you to bend down and we're going to walk all over you? Vatosimi cho'oretz geveich, like the ground, you put your body down on the ground. V'tachutz la'ovrim, you are like the streets. The people who passed through the streets, they trampled all over you. They trampled all over you. Now what he's saying, of course, is you let them do it. The ambulance? What did you say? I didn't know what you said. We're doing it the same thing all over again. It's not doing the same thing. And I was not, you spit at me, no, it's raining. You understand? Yeah, whatever you want. Vatosimi, you are the one who did made Ka'odetz Geveich. Your body, Geveich, comes from the word Geviyah. A Geviyah is a body, or Goy. The word Goy comes from the idea a group of people. The Kachutz, and like the streets out there, La Ovrim, to anybody who wants to trample all over you. Therefore, in order to truly understand the next pasuk, we have to go back. Was it the beginning of chapter? The beginning of chapter 50. We're now at the beginning of chapter 52. In chapter 51, take a look at chapter 51, pasuk 9. And you're going to see how everything is following in order. In chapter 51, pasuk 9, Uri, Uri, Livshi, Oz, Zeroah Hashem, Uri, Kimei Kedem, Dorot, Olamim. Chapter 51, Nun Aleph, pasuk Tet. You have to be able to move quickly over here. We're moving through Yeshayahu. In pasuk 9, this pasuk Tet, it is the Jewish people speaking to God and telling God, Uri, Uri, awaken, awaken, live she owes. Zeroah Hashem. God, your arm, your divine arm, use your strength. Uri, ki mei kedem. Awaken again as in the days of old that you did great miracles for us. Dorot olamim, the generations before. Haloati you, Shechina, divine. And you're the one, Hamachatzevet Rahav Micholel Tanin. You're the one who destroyed Rahav, that was Mitzrayim. You brought down the Tanin Paro. And then in Pasuk 10 it says, you, strength of God, you're the one who dried out the Yamsuf. So Klal Yisrael has been telling God, you go out there and do the job. You know what happens now at the beginning of chapter 52? Uri, Uri, Livshi, Uzeich, Tzion. Hashem is saying to the Jewish people, you want me to show my strength? You awaken, and you go out, and you put on the strength of Tzion. Take a look at the two psukim, sort of, you know, like, they are mirror images. Uri, Uri, Livshi, Oz, Zeroah Hashem. And here it is, Uri, Uri, Livshi, Uzeich, Tzion. You know what the Rebbeinu was saying? You're going to have to go out there and do something. Livshi bigdi bigdei tifarteich, put on the garments of your splendor. Yerushalayim ir ha-kodesh. One of the few places in Tanakh where it says Yerushalayim ir ha-kodesh. I didn't have a chance to look up the concordance, but I think it's maybe 3-4 times. And all of Tanakh. You will remember that Tiferet, we had explained in the name of the Malbim, and it's in a number of places, Tanakh, Tiferet means the deeds and the action of man. We are Tiferet. So you know what he's saying? He's saying, Tzion, you go out there and act with great strength. Remember also we've said in the name of the Malbim, and this is one of the psukim that is proof, Tzion represents Harabayit. Yerushalayim is the masses of Yerushalayim. Tzion represents the spiritual elite. Yerushalayim, the man in the street. So there is the spiritual strength of Tzion. Uri, Uri, Livshi, Ulzeich Tzion. Because strength comes from God. Yirmiyahu, chapter 16. Hashem Uzi, Umo Uzi. God is my strength and my might. Oz is strength. Uminusi Bion Tzorah, the one whom I flee to on the day of Tzorah. Kim. That was my Bar Mitzvah Haftarah, the Chukosai. That's why I know that it's in Yirmiyahu 16. Oz, Hashem Oz Liyamo, Hashem Oz Liyamo Yitain, Hashem Yivareh et Amova Shalom. Alright? Uri, Uri, Livshi, Uzeh Tzion means the spiritual strength of Tzion. Livshi, Bigbe Tifarteh, put on the garments of your splendor, which means you go out and become a partner with God in protecting Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. What a pasuk. Kilo Yosef Yavobach Od Oreil the Tamei. There shall not come within your midst anymore the uncircumcised or the impure, the Tamei Hitnari. Now, we're going to give you a test on how much of the Lechadodi we have already gone through. And when I came to this pasuk, I ran for my sitter. And I'll tell you why. I'm not clear about this, but I knew that when I'll talk to you about it, it'll become clearer. In the Chododi, how is it written? Even how is it printed in the Siddur? Hitnari, may offer kumi, livshi big day, tifar teich ami, hitnari may offer kumi, livshi big day, tifar teich ami. Ayad, then Yishai Beit Halachmi, Korvel Navshi Gola. So Hitnari may offer Kumi, Livshi Bigdei Tifartech Ami. So Hitnari may offer Kumi is Pasuk Beis. Livshi Bigdei Tifartech Ami is the Pasuk before. But when we come to the Pasuk, it's not Hitnari may offer Kumi, Hitnari may offer. Get the dust off of you. Why do you have to get the dust off? Because you are down there on the ground and you let them step all over you. You are in the streets and you made your back like somebody who can just so you're full of dust. So you know what he says? Hit the nari may offer. Get the, you know, shake out the dust. Kumi shvi Yerushalayim. Arise. And there are two pshatim in Shvi. One pshat is, Kumi, get up and sit down, Yerushalayim. Don't lie prostrate over there before the enemy and let them step all over you. Sit down on a chair. Shvi can also mean the prisoners. The ones who've been taken into captivity. Hitnari may offer, get the dust off. Kumi Shvi Yerushalayim, the captivity of Yerushalayim, should get up. Hitakhi Mosrei Tzavarech, take off the yoke that's around your neck. Open up the yoke by which you are held. Shviyah Bat Tzion, the captivity of the daughter of Tzion. So you hear what I'm saying? In Lechododi, it's different than it is in the Pasuk. You cannot read the Pasuk, Hitnari may offer Kumi. There's no offer Kumi. There is a sefer called, may offer Kumi. When because unless we're going to read it both ways, Hitnari may offer, and may offer Kumi. By the way, sometimes this happens in Tanakh. There are classic places where a word is supposed to be, in a sense, read twice. and the word goes here, and the word goes there. We had a word like that yesterday in the shiur. We were talking about the word in Parashat B'Shalach, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yehoshua, "Bechar lanu anoshim, choose men, v'tzehi lachem ba'amalek, and go out and wage war with Amalek, mochor, tomorrow, anochi yoshev al rosh hagiva, I'm going to sit at the top of the mountain." So the word mochor can be understood going to the first part of the pasuk, go out and wage war against Amalek, mochor, or it can mean mochor, tomorrow, I'm going to be on the top of the mountain. I have a feeling that the word may offer over here can be read both ways. Hitnavi may offer, get the dust off, and then also may offer kumi, from the dust, get up. I like that now. I knew that if I talk about it with you, I'd understand the pasuk better. Shvi Yerushalayim, either sit, because Rashi says on Shvi, Rashi says al hakiseh. So Rashi is clearly telling us, in other words, Rashi was also bothered, does the word Shvi over here, as we had earlier, Shvi u'malkoach? You remember we had the words, Hayukach mi gibor Shvi, can you take from the gibor his captivity? But I'm going to be the one who will remove from the hands of the gibor the Shvi. Kicho amar Hashem. So Rashi says, Shvi alakisei. And Shivya, or Shivya, Rashi says, Kimo Shivuya. In other words, you have the word twice in the pasuk. So Rashi differentiates. It's the first time when it says Shvi means sit. When it says Shivya, that comes from the word Shivuya, the one who is held captive. Let's see what anybody else says over here. Yeah, so but I say that it's clear that Rashi didn't learn that way. Rashi clearly didn't learn that way. Most probably because the word kumi means get up on the ground, and shvi. Alright, so I say both, we have to be able to see both. So there are either Shvi means sit, or Shvi means captivity. Shvi apatzion, okay, where are we? Okay. Kichon Hashem. So says God. Oh, God. Chinam nimkartem velo bechesef tigvaelu. You have been sold for nothing. No price was taken. You were sent, means God gave you over to the enemies, and he did not take anything in return. That's one shot. And therefore, below Kesef Tigo'elu, since I didn't take any price for sending you into exile or turning you into captives, therefore, your redemption, I don't have to pay anybody. No, it's if I received money for it, if I received money for this sale, so then when I take you back, I'm going to have to pay. But since chinam nimkartem, I gave you over, and the word nimkar does not always have to mean sold. Nimkar means to have given over. I gave you over to somebody, but I didn't take any money for it, and therefore below kesef tigo'elu, you're not going to be redeemed through money. We're going to come back to this pasuk, because this pasuk is a crucial pasuk of extreme important contemporary relevance. Rashi says chinam nimkartem, he says a different shot, al iske chinam, for nothing, for something that was nothing, you were sold off into slavery, hu yetzer hara she'eino lachem l'scha, because of the yetzer hara, is nothing, for that nothing was nothing, you went off into exile, v'lo b'kesef tigo'elu, and it's not with money that you will be redeemed, elo b'tshuva, you know how you're going to be redeemed, you're going to be redeemed through tshuva. I'm going to read another few psukim, then I'm going to get back to this pasuk, so we'll see its significance, because it brings us to our next unit here. Kicho amar Hashem elokim. So says God, Mitzrayim yoradami barishon olagur sham. My people went down at first to live in in Mitzrayim. Va'ashur be'efes ashako. So now the fact is that we went down innocently. Not only we went down innocently to Mitzrayim, we were invited into Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim had absolutely no right to cause us all that pain and that suffering. Ashur, hundreds of years later, when they suffer and they are robbed by Ashur, it was Ephes. You never did anything to them. What did they want? What did they want from you? Rashi, slightly different. Rashi says, Mitzrayim yoradami. My people went down to Mitzrayim. Heima Mitzrayim hoyulem tzaskovalem. Shenasulem achsanya. Says, at least the Mitzrayim had a right to exact something from you because they opened their land to you. So you owed them something. They took a great deal more than you owed. But Asher never did anything for you. Be'efes, for nothing, Ashoko, he robbed them. Va'ata merli ponum Hashem. Why? God says, what do I have over you? Why am I leaving my children in exile? My people have been taken for nothing. The ones who rule over them take great pride and praise themselves. Take a look. We're the ones who are ruling over God's people. My name is Menoatz. It is rejected. It is contemptible every day. Because the world knows, as the Pope said this week, we are the children of the covenant. He asked Mechila for everything that Christians have done throughout history to the children of the covenant. The whole world knows that we are. And he said, your children, referring to God. So it means that whenever Klal Yisrael suffers, it is the name of God that is held in great contempt. Tomid, kol hayom, constantly, every day, God says, Shmi menoatz. I've had enough of it. Lochein yeda ami. Shmi, let my people know my name. Lochein bayom ahu. On that day, you will know, ki ani hu hamidaber hineini. I am the one who speaks to you, and I say hineini. Throughout history, it was Jews who said hineini, but it is the revelation was going to say, here I am. And here comes one of the great psukim in Tanakh. Man of Hu'alaharim, how beautiful it is upon the mountains, Raglei Mevaseh, the feet of the one who brings the good news. I shouldn't use the term good news. The Mevaseh, the one. Manavu al Harim, how beautiful it is upon the mountains, Raglei Mevaseh, the feet of the one who brings the news. Mashmiya Shalom, the one who's going to let us know that there is peace. Mevaseh Tov, the one who brings the message of good. Mashmiya Yeshua, the one who is going to let us know of salvation. And you know what he's going to say? He's talking about the Mashiach. You know what he's going to say? Omer L'Tzion, he's going to say to Tzion, Molach Elokayach, your God has begun to rule. Kol Tzofayich Nasu Kol Yachdov Yeranenu. The voice of Tzofayich. The Tzofayich are the ones who stand on the watchtowers, and they're looking from the distance, and they see, something is coming, and all of them together are going to sing, Ki Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru. Eye by eye, we'll have to talk. Ayin ba'ayin, the simple meaning of ayin ba'ayin means a sighting that is not in doubt. It's absolutely certain. We see it. B'shuv Hashem Tzion, when the Rebbein Hashem is returning to Tzion. They're going to stand up there and they're going to see clearly. V'techazeno einenu b'shuv Hashem Tzion b'rachamim. Pitzchu, open up your mouths. Ranenu yagdav, sing together. Chorvot Yerushalayim. You ruins of Yerushalayim, ki nicham Hashem amo, because the Rebbein Hashem has consoled his people, ga'al Yerushalayim, he has redeemed Yerushalayim. These psukim are so beautiful, it's unbelievable. And you know how it happened? Because chosaf Hashem et zro HaKodesho, God has revealed zro HaKodesho, his holy
arm, le'enei kol agoyim, before the eyes of the whole of all the nations, the ro kol afsei oretz, all of the ends of the earth are going to see et yeshuat elokeinu, the salvation of our God. Oh, these gorgeous psukim, you have to read them over and over again. I do it during the week, I tell you. You inspire me, and I see these psukim in such a beautiful light. But I'm going back to that pasuk, ki chinam nimkartem velo b'chesef ki goelu. The Radak makes the following statement over here. It's a one-liner Radak. The Radak says, velo b'chesef, you're not going to be redeemed through kesef, through silver. He makes the same comment as Rashi. Elo b'tshuva, it's only going to be through tshuva. He says we're going to speak at length about this matter in the pasuk of Vayar Ki Einish. That's a pasuk in chapter 59. Yitz Hashem, for the next time we get together, I'm going to have a copy of that radak. But the sheets that you have in front of you deal with the major issue, most probably the major theological issue in the religious world today. And that question can be summed up in one sentence. Can there be redemption without tshuva? Or is redemption only the result of tshuva? Now, if redemption is the result of tshuva, I don't think that anybody can say that there has been a mass movement of tshuva, and therefore there is we are in the process of redemption. Now, Therefore, as those who hold that Geula can only come as the result of tshuva, have to look at the establishment of the state of Israel as some kind of a weird, unnatural event in Jewish history, because it just shouldn't be. Because Geula... Oh, sorry, I see the look on her face, I understand. The look on her face is the... what she's thinking, what's going through her mind, is the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach, yeah, I'm telling you, trust me. I'm not putting bad words in your mouth. The Or Sameach says that the process of tshuva begins, Ayideisha Yashuvu La'artzam, because they will return to their land, they will ultimately return to their God as well. And since she's the last unrepentant Zionist here in the class, so that's one approach. But there is another approach. We will see that there is a machloket, whether Geula is dependent on tshuva or not dependent on tshuva, and we're going to have to understand, therefore, in light of that, how do we look at the period in which we live? So just hang in. Don't make any rash decisions yet. Don't make any rash decisions. What I have over here for you is the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. If you take a look on, I don't know how to, because I got them all mixed up. Everything is right, but it seems that one page came out in smaller print, one side came out in smaller print. Huh? Now go to the side with the smaller print. The first of the white lines is a gimel. You see the gimel? Amar Rav. This Gemara is the pivotal Gemara of all. And then, what we're going to do is we're going to take you on a journey. That journey will not take place today, but we're going to take you on a journey through Rishonim and Achronim throughout all history. Is Geula dependent on tshuva or not? But the source material begins from here. Now, if we will be able to prove that redemption can come even without tshuva, then the establishment of the state of Israel is clearly a divine act, and redemption, or the beginning of the process of redemption, the end of the exile, whatever you want to call it, Akalta b'Geula, the beginnings of redemption, Reishit Tzmichat Geula Peinu, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption, Sof HaGalut, is not dependent on tshuva. If it's not dependent on tshuva, then we are on solid ground that this is a seminal event in Jewish history that is the signal of what will ultimately be the end. Amar Rav. Rav said, Kolu kol hakitzin. All of the kitzin are all of the possibilities of the end of days being are all over. The ain habavar tolui elo b'tshuva umasim tovim.
That's it. All of the possible dates that there could have been geula are all over, and you know what? Now it depends only on tshuva and good deeds. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says two pshatim. If you want to, you can look on the right hand side of the sheet. There's a Rashi that's a bit bigger than all of the rest. Dayo le'ovel sha'omei be'evlo. It's enough for the mourner, the time that he has remained in mourning. Dayo la'kodesh baruch hu sha'omei kamo yomim v'yomeinu achor. It's enough already for the Rabbi Shem, all of this period of history, that the days that we had with him are back there in the past, and we have been removed from him and distanced from him. Koma, what it means, im lo yasum tshuva, if they're not going to do tshuva, eino omoy bad lo kalayamim. God is not going to remain in mourning for his children forever. And if they're not going to do tshuva, you know what he's going to do? He's going to redeem them anyway. Elavat, I take sladova, there is an end. Shmuel says, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me it's an open-ended thing? The Rebbe Shem says, I can wait until hell freezes over. I can wait until you all do tshuva. Do you know what it means until all of Klal Yisrael does tshuva? It will never happen. So therefore Shmuel says, Dayo le'ovel, it is enough for the mourner to remain in his period of mourning. That's all saying, Genug, Genug, it's all over with. A second pshat, Lishna Achrina, another pshat, Dayo le'ovel, Dayo le'Yisrael, Tzar HaGolos. For Yisrael, it's already enough, the pain of Golos, afilu below tshuva nigolim, even if they don't do tshuva, they're going to be redeemed. The Rosh Hashanah says, Genug, my children suffered enough. And if the suffering, I would imagine, I would add to this, that if the suffering hasn't brought them to tshuva, then the goodness is going to bring them to tshuva. So here we have a machloket, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, all of the possible ends of days have passed, and it all depends on tshuva u'masim tovim. If they do tshuva u'masim tovim, they will be redeemed, otherwise, no. And Shmuel says, no, that's an impossibility, it can't be. Dayo la'ovel, it's enough for the mourner. So the Gemara goes on further and says, Kitanoi. The same difference of opinion between Rav and Shmuel is a machloket of Tanoim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Im Yisrael tshuva nigolim, if Israel does tshuva, they will be redeemed. V'im lav, and if not, ein nigolim, they're not redeemed. Nikuda. Alright? Rabbi Yeshua, sir, Rabbi Yeshua said to him, Im ein osin tshuva ein nigolin, if they don't do tshuva, they're not going to be redeemed. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Of course, there has to be redemption. What are you talking about? It's going to be an open-ended thing all the way on into history? Ella. Huh? Now, there are different texts over here. Who says the next sentence? Is it Rabbi Yeshua who says the next sentence, or is it Rabbi Eliezer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamed Lehem Melech Shegzeirotav Kashot Kahaman V'Yisrael Osin Tshuva U'Machaziran Memutav. It would seem that Rabbi Elazar is saying this because Rabbi Yeshua has challenged him. If Ein Osin Tshuva, if they're not going to do Tshuva, Ein Nigolin, they're not going to be redeemed. What are you talking about? Can't be. So it may be that Rabbi Eliezer is responding that, you know, God is going to bring a king whose Gzeirot are as terrible as Haman. And you know what will happen as a result? The Yisrael Oshim Tshuva, Yisrael will do Tshuva U'machaziran L'mutav, and he brings them back to good. Hitler is Yimach Shemay V'Zichrei, he's going to bring them back to good. Alright? Tanya Idach. We learned it in another place, this Machlokes. And you know what the Machlokes now becomes? A Machlokes of texts between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, in Yisraelos in Tshuva, if they do Tshuva, Nigolin, they are redeemed. Shenema, because it says, Shuvu banim shovavim, return you rebellious children, sons, erpa mishuvotechem, I will redeem you from your rebelliousness. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying, here it says, you know how healing is going to come? Only as a result of tshuva. Amalo Rabbi Yoshua, so Rabbi Yoshua said to him, V'halo kvar nemar, but it already says in Yeshayahu, Chinom nimkartem v'lo b'kesef tigo elu. This is the pasuk that we are dealing with. right now, and this pasuk becomes central in the Gemara. And take a look how Rabbi Yeshua learns the pasuk. Chinam nimkartem, you were sold for nothing, ba'afal gezara, because of nothing, because of idolatry, which is nothing, you were sold off into galus. V'lo b'kesef tiko elu, and you're not going to be redeemed through money. Lo b'tshuva u'masim tovim. You will not need tshuva and masim tovim. Now, of course, what's going to be, what we're going to have to explain is, that's not how Rashi learns here. Rashi says, not with money will you be redeemed, but with tshuva. And how does Rabbi Eliezer, how does Rabbi Yeshua learn it? V'lo v'kesef tigaelu, nothing is going to be necessary in order to redeem you. Take a look at the Rashi, lo v'kesef over here. Lo v'tshuva u'masin tovim, da'filu ein osin tshuva nigalim. Rabbi Yeshua says, nothing will be necessary on your part to bring the redemption. No tshuva, no masim tovim, even if they don't do tshuva nigalim. Mishum da'ama, because it says, chinam nimkartem, kri, kesef, bilashon, tshuva. I'm not sure yet what Rashi means over here. Let's keep that in abeyance. But it's quite clear, this pasuk is being quoted by Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yehoshua's position is that Jews are going to be redeemed even if they don't do tshuva. Let's go further in the Gemara. So now Rabbi Eliezer is going to respond. Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yehoshua, "Valo kovar nema," but it says already, "Shuvu elai, return unto me, for shuva aleichem, and I will return unto you." That's a pasuk in Malachi. God says, return to me, v'ashuva aleichem, and I will return to you. So what comes first? You have to return to me. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, wait a minute, but I have another pasuk. Ma'alok v'armena, but it already says, t'yonochi v'alti b'chem, v'lakachti etchem echad me'ir, u'shnayim mi'mishpacha, v'heveti etchem tzion. I am the one who is your master. And therefore, I'm going to take you, even if it's one in a city or two from a family that remain, and I will bring you to Tzion. And there's no condition. It doesn't say, I will bring you to Tzion because of tshuva. There is an end of days, and that end of days, that geula is going to come regardless of your merit. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, but there's another pasuk I love. I remember, but it says b'shuva v'nachati v'she'un. This is a pasuk earlier in chapter 30 in Yeshayahu. From tshuva, you will be redeemed and rescued. Amar lo Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Eliezer, I love. I remember, but it already says, and this is a pasuk that we learned a chapter or two before. Kol Hashem. So says God, go El Yisrael, the Redeemer of Israel, Kedosh, his Holy One, live his own nefesh, the one whose soul is contemptible, the mita'ev goy, le'eved moslim, a people who are abomination, slaves who are ruled over. Next page, melachim yiru v'kamu, kings will see and they will stand up, sovereign the yishtachavu, ministers are going to bow down to you. And the end of the pasuk, that was in Yeshayahu 49, we learned the pasuk. And it says, the end of the pasuk is, Leman Hashem. It's going to be for God's sake, not for your sake. Which means that they're going to be redeemed even if they don't do tshuva. Amalo Rabbi Eliezer, Sir Eliezer quotes another pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Va'alo Kvarnema, but it already says, in Toshuv Yisrael Yom Hashem, Im can mean if, or Im can mean when you do tshuva. Says God, Eli Tashuv, return to me, and then redemption will come. Amalo Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua said to Rabbi Eliezer, V'halo kvar nema, but it already says, and this is a pasuk at the end of Daniel, and we learned it, Vo'eshma et ha'ish, levush habadim, I heard the man who was cloaked in the beautiful clothing, Hashemimal lemeimei hayor, who was above the waters of the river, vayorim yimino usmolo, he lifted up his right and his left hand, el hashemayim, to the heavens, vayishova, and he swore b'chei ha'olam, by the eternal God. Kilamoed Moadim Vachetzi Chichalot Nipates Yad Am Kodesh Tichlena Kalela. That there is a particular time. There's going to be the big bang, and then there's going to come the end. There is a date set for the end, regardless of whether Jews do tshuva or not. Most significant is the Shatak Rebbe Eliezer. The Gemara says Rebbe Eliezer remained silent. In the Talmud Yerushalmi it says, Istalek Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer removed himself, in a sense, meaning that Rebbe Eliezer now agrees and admits, he adopts the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, because the pasuk in Daniel is so clear, there is a time. And nothing is going to stop God from the appointed time. Geula will come even without tshuva. When will that be? I like it. You sound like all of my Hasidists who think I'm a Hasidic Rebbe or a Kabbalist or knows. By the way, I will tell you when. I'm going to tell you when. Yes, go ahead.
Since you had mentioned before, I don't remember how that Hashem did have to know for people to be tshuva in tshuva. But there comes a point when there's an illness and there is no tshuva. There's no reason for the punishment so far, and therefore Hashem is not going to be able to raise the tshuva.
It sounds good to me, and since it sounds good to me, even if I didn't say it, I'll take credit for something like that. But look, let's wait and see. There's one other little piece of Gemara. I mean, we have only begun to scratch the surface of this, because there is one big question. What does Rabbi Yeshua mean? Jews don't do tshuva, and the Rebbe Yeshua is going to redeem Mechalei Shabbos, Eichei Preifis, readers of Palestinian national poetry. Is that what he's going to? This is his people. This is Ami Yisrael. What are you talking about? How can you say there won't be tshuva? What I will let you in. We're going to have to differentiate between different parts of the process. If Klal Yisrael does tshuva, then Geula can come at any moment in time. If they don't do tshuva, then according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Geula will come. But you know what it means, Geula will come? The beginning of a process. At the end of that process, there's no question about it that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. Shulamit Aloni is going to learn in Neveh, and Yossi Sadid is going to be in Ur Sameach. I think he deserves Eish HaTorah. Okay, that's what's going to happen. At the end of the process, there's no question about it. That's clear. The twilight zone is the middle of this process, and that's the machlokus in our day. Can the process of geula begin without tshuva? Yes?
We never talk about numbers. All people do tshuva?
That's a very good question. Because I'm going to bring, when we meet again, I'm going to bring a source that says, if the leadership of Klal Yisrael does tshuva, don't ask me yet what the leadership means. Don't ask me that. I'm not going to do the next four or five lines. What? The next two and a half lines are most probably the most classic of all. I'm just going to read it, and when we get back together again in Yitzhak Hashem in 2 weeks, we'll go through it. But any of you should immediately recognize Va'omar Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Abba said, Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh shenema, Va'atem hori Yisrael ampechem titenu, uferyechem tisu la'am Yisrael ki kervu lago. I always put my hands out this way. Va'atem hori Yisrael ampechem titenu, uferyechem tisu. The Gemara now comes by telling us that there is a Kates Megula, there's a revealed Kates that we can see it with our own eyes. And the Mefarshim say it says V'Amar, because this is really the end of the Machloket between Rav Elazar and Rav Yeshua. If Rav Elazar and Rav Yeshua both agree that Geula comes even without Tshuva, how do we know that it's happening?
So he says, you know how it's happening? The Kates Megula, the revealed end of days. What's the revealed end of days? When Eretz Yisrael begins to produce food to feed the Jewish people. The 20th century. We're going to see, the Gemara here is an awesome Gemara, and we're going to deal with all of the offshoots. Ki chinam nimkartem velo b'kesef tigo elu chag purim sameach.